In the name of Jesus, amen. The word of God for this morning is the scripture reading which you just heard. Elijah was depressed. He was on some kind of a pity party, as it were. But wouldn't you feel the same way? I mean, look at all the stuff that he did as God's prophet. He provided food for a widow. He raised the dead. In the name of God, he started a drought. In the name of God, he ended a drought. And then there was that contest with the Baal prophets. And what a champion for the Lord he was. I can still hear ringing in my ears the words of Elijah at that contest on Mount Carmel, where he says, where is Baal? Perhaps he's just lost in thought. Maybe he had to take a trip and had to stop at a rest area on the way. Maybe he's taking a nap. Elijah, the champion for the Lord, arranged to have all of the Baal prophets who were present exterminated. Then he stands up to pagan King Ahab with all his phony beliefs, and he tells Ahab to his face the word of God like it is. All this stuff, and what does Elijah get for it? Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, the painted lady, the priestess of Baal himself, threatens his life, and Elijah runs for his life. And he runs. And he runs. He leaves the northern kingdom, but that isn't far enough. He goes all the way through the southern kingdom, but that isn't enough. He stops at Beersheba on the very southern edge, the southern frontier of Judah. But that isn't far enough. He still goes another day's journey beyond that, out into the wilderness. And there he sits under the meager shade of a broom tree. Now, it seems scripturally that prophets prefer broom trees over other kinds of trees. And there we could hear Elijah say, Lord, take my life. I don't care if, even if I could raise $8 million by the end of the month, please, Lord, take me home. In short, Elijah, the Lord's spokesman, and there is a message for ministers of the gospel today. Elijah needed the gospel. At least that's what God decided Elijah needed. That's what God always decides when he sees his people lost in their sins and their weaknesses. Elijah needed that gospel which would save him from the fear of punishment, because he did confess that he was no better than his fathers. And he also needed that gospel to redeem him from any hope for reward, because he was, as you know, so zealous for the Lord. God then takes Elijah back to the gospel roots of God's chosen people. He is first fed by the angel of the Lord, and remember him if you would. And then, sustained in that food alone, he travels 200 miles roughly over 40 days. 200 miles? In 40 days? That doesn't sound like traveling to me. That sounds more like wandering, if you will. Wandering in the wilderness? 40 days sustained by the Lord? Now, if that sounds at all familiar to you as a student either of the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's supposed to sound familiar. To Horeb he goes, which is, of course, Mount Sinai. And then, as the text says, he goes into the cave, which is undoubtedly meant to be the cleft in the rock, so familiar to us. And there, as it fits the pattern, as you might expect, God himself passes by. And one by one, there march past Elijah all the signals of God coming in his judgment. Here comes the wind, strong enough to break mountains apart and shatter rocks. Oh, but the Lord isn't in the wind. Oh, but here comes the earthquake. But the Lord isn't in the earthquake either. And here comes the fire, but no, the Lord isn't in the fire either. And finally, last weekend, I was at a wedding reception, and you know how loud the music gets sometimes in a wedding reception. To take a break a little bit from the loud noise, I stepped outside of the building completely. Now, this reception hall was out in the middle of nowhere, in the wilderness, as it were, on the frontier of, no, not Judea, Ohio. And as I stepped out of all of that noise into the out-of-doors, the silence was deafening. There wasn't a breath of wind. There weren't any cars moving anywhere, not a single one. There wasn't a single person moving about. There was nothing. All I heard was the buzzing of the electric lights in the parking lot. After all this racket, this is basically what Elijah experienced. It is traditionally translated, as you heard, as a still, small voice. It has been variously translated as a gentle silence, a quiet whisper, a delicate calm. But basically, when you put all the senses here together, what it all boils down to is that Elijah heard nothing. Oh, but what a glorious nothing that was. A golden gospel silence. Because, you know, silence is golden, is it not? God was not present in the wind of judgment, in the earthquake of judgment, in the fire of judgment. But in the total absence of all of these things, there was God, and there was his grace. God was there in the nothing. God was there in the silence. The glory of God was present in the absence of judgment. The judgment, as it were, was just totally displaced when God himself moved into the picture. That golden gospel silence was worked and was to be worked by that person in the story known as the angel. And that angel, the one who sustained Elijah in this story all along, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder why, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah could be there talking with him, talking about his mission, what he was all about. The angel, born in the still of midnight, the angel stilling the storms that would make his disciples afraid. The angel not raising his voice or crying out in the streets as he ministers to these bruised reeds and these dimly burning wicks of sinners. The angel who would not open his mouth when he faced the fire of judgment on him by himself. In the silence, God was there. In the nothing, God was there. And Joshua, hearing that deafening silence, could be still and know that the Lord is God. He could know that his sins were forgiven, that he was redeemed from the fear of punishment. He could carry on in his work, knowing that he was redeemed from any hope for reward. until that time where he would pass by God's gracious fire to his eternal inheritance. In our lives, we feel our sins and sometimes feel in our self-pity, I alone am left. In those times, we need to hear, no, God alone is left. Listen to the deafening silence of the gospel. Hear its sweet nothings in your ear. Go back to your roots as a child of God, the cross of the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there be sustained in the wilderness day by day. We have in this story of Elijah the perfect picture for us of the way of the cross. When we ourselves know that we are no better than our fathers were, we know that we are redeemed from the punishment of sin. And then, as we are sustained by that deafening silence of the gospel, we carry on with our work and carry on in our zeal for the Lord, redeemed at the same time from any hope for reward. We become, as it were, strong, silent types in the name of Jesus. Strong, silent types who may at times be running for our lives, but strong, silent types nonetheless. Until in heaven, we sing as his transfigured people, arise and silence, keep no more. As we make much ado about the nothing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.